The first scripture is from Luke chapter 24, 1 through 12. But on the first day of the week, at early dawn, they went to the tomb, taking the spices that they had prepared. They found the stone rolled away from the tomb, but when they went in, they did not find the body. While they were perplexed about this, suddenly two men in dazzling clothes stood beside them. The women were terrified and bowed their faces to the ground. But the men said to them, "Why do you look for the living among the dead? He is not here, but he has risen. Remember how he told you while he was still in Galilee that the Son of Man must be handed over to the hands of sinners and be crucified, and on the third day rise again." Then they remembered his words, and returning from the tomb, they told all this to the 11 and to all the rest. Now it was Mary Magdalene, Joanna, Mary the mother of James, and the other women with them who told this to the apostles. But these words seemed to them to be an idle tale, and they did not believe them. But Peter got up and ran to the tomb, stooping and looking in. He saw the linen cloths by themselves. Then he went home, amazed at what had happened. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Our second scripture is a little bit further down in that chapter of Luke. This is Jesus appearing to the disciples. While they, the disciples, were talking about this, Jesus himself stood among them and said to them, "Peace be with you." They were startled and terrified and thought that they were seeing a ghost. He said to them, "Why are you frightened? And why do doubts arise in your hearts? Look at my hands and my feet. See that it is I myself. Touch me and see, for a ghost does not have flesh and bones as you see that I have." And when he said this, he showed them his hands and feet. Yet for all their joy, they were still disbelieving and wondering. And he said to them, "Have you anything to eat?" They gave him a piece of broiled fish, and he took it and ate in their presence. Then he said to them, "These are my words that I spoke to you while I was still with you, that everything written about me in the law of Moses, the prophets, and the Psalms must be fulfilled." Then he opened their minds to understand the scriptures, and he said to them, "Thus it is written that the Messiah is to suffer and to rise from the dead on the third day, and that repentance and forgiveness of sins is to be proclaimed in his name to all nations, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things." This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
I'd like to tell you a little bit about one of my favorite people, my sister-in-law, Bonnie. She's a grandmother four times over. And the grandchildren are now in college, and some of them are out. And she's a wonderful grandmother. And when they were little, she loved to get down on the floor and play with the little ones. And she said, "You know, it doesn't matter if you make a complete idiot of yourself with your grandchildren, because they'll just love it." And when Bonnie's two youngest grandkids were 2 and 4, they were tiny, petite little girls. But they loved to sing. And the oldest one, Sadie, had quite a set of lungs on her. And she often liked to regale with me with my most unfavorite song, Sweet Caroline. Bom, 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 the whole thing, which was adorable from a 4-year-old. Bonnie often sat on the floor with them when they were little, and one of their favorite songs was the Itsy Bitsy Spider. You know, the Itsy Bitsy Spider goes up the water spout. Down came the rain and washed the spider out. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain, and the Itsy Bitsy Spider came out the spider guy. I can see you know this. My parents used to sing it to me when I was a little girl. Now, the thing is that most of us spend our lives or have spent our earlier years climbing up the water spouts of life. We climb up to the top of the corporate ladder, or the school system, or the government, or our department. We try to get ahead because, you know, we need financial security so that someday, God willing, we can retire. We need a bigger house or a better car or more stuff or better stuff. And a big vacation when we're working to take a break from all that hard work that pays for all this. We need to save money to send our kids to good schools so that then they can start climbing up the ladder. Or we needed to get one more trip in while we can still enjoy it. We're climbing up the water spout. And we're comparing ourselves usually with what everyone else is doing, where they are. Everything in our society is competition and comparison. Even in retirement, the social comparisons and structures are still going. It's the culture we live in. And it doesn't matter how high you climb, or whether your name is Rockefeller or Gates or Trump, someday down came the rain and washed the spider out. Because I know that there are people here today or within the sound of my voice who have been at times or maybe now washed out. Maybe you have gone through the loss of a job. Maybe your retirement savings have been washed out by a decline in the stock market or other investments. Or your health or the health of someone you love is failing. What do you do when you hear things like those hard words, "It's cancer"? I know that there have been people, even I myself, have heard those hard words. My experience is that when you're in the waiting room and you hear those words, it really doesn't matter how high you've climbed or what kind of house or car you have. It hurts badly, and it's like down came the rains, and you are washed out. You're blown away. And that's what happened to the disciples on that first Good Friday. Of course, we understand how it came to be called good, but it wasn't good for those first disciples. When that storm was unleashed on the day Jesus died, everyone ran for cover. The disciples felt that their lives were being washed away. They thought that Jesus was the Messiah, but now he was dead. He was just like all the others, a big deal and then nothing. They were devastated, broken, washed out. But at dawn on the first day of the week, Sunday, when Mary Magdalene went to the place where Jesus was buried, she came there to finish the Jewish burial rites, which had been interrupted on the Sabbath on Saturday. She went in sadness and gloom, washed out by the rains. But when she arrived at the tomb, the stone was rolled away, and an unearthly person started asking her questions. "Why are you crying? Who are you looking for?" And then this bewildered woman and her friend runs into the very person she knows is dead, Jesus. And he says, "Mary, it's me." And when she tells the men of her experience, they think it's just an idle tale. Some versions say an idle tale told by a woman. Where do you come out on Easter? Is it an idle tale? Is it just a ceremonial rite of spring when we all get dressed up and we go out for a wonderful meal afterwards? Is it a tale? An idle tale? Or is it true? The disciples didn't believe it. And yet the reality is that God had taken the worst that the world could give and had redeemed it and us. Yet even when Jesus was so close, walking among them, they didn't get it. And a lot of times we are the same way. Jesus is all around us. But like Mary Magdalene, we just don't recognize it. Like Peter and John, we see the signs, but we don't understand them. We, like Thomas, hear the testimony of others, even others we trust, but still, we don't get it. We are so focused on climbing up the water spout. We are so focused on climbing up that ladder of success or on conspicuous consumption or just hanging in there. Sometimes we're so focused on the terrible things that life has done to us. Down came the rains. My life is ruined. It's over. And that's our focus, not hope. But if it is true that God raised Jesus from the dead, that it's real, then everything has changed. It means that hopelessness is not the final word on today. It means that terrorism, war, oppression, suffering is not the last word on today. Cancer and Alzheimer's and Parkinson's is not the last word. We can be so much like those first disciples. We can be so focused on the rain washing us out and Jesus being dead. Like the men, we can be unable to hear the good news Mary brings. Like Thomas, we can be so afraid of further disappointment and pain, we cannot believe what we cannot see. But the truth is that God did raise Jesus from the dead, whether we accept it or not. The resurrection tosses our world upside down. Writer Anne Lamott says, for Christians, death is just a change of address. That is the message of Easter. Out came the sun and dried up all the rain. But that doesn't mean that life is going to be easy or perfect or that death is not real. Resurrection is the promise that God will make something new and alive from the wreckage of our lives. It means that God will give us strength to make something out of failure and pain. And when we come to the end of our strength, God says, we will get God's strength to go on, to do more than we ever dreamed possible, including making something new, life, out of nothing, death. Today could be your Easter. It could be the day when you dress up and perform the spring ritual, or it could be your Easter. The day when everything changed for you, when hope became real. T.S. Eliot wrote, "This is the way our world will end, not with a bang, but with a whimper." Do we as Christians believe that? Do we think that we need to focus on climbing up the waterspout before the rain washes us out? Or do we believe, as we say in the Lord's Prayer, "For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen." That, in fact, the sun, S-O-N, is shining, and salvation is at hand. This has real significance for your life, because tomorrow on Monday morning, you're either going to go back to climbing up that water spout again, or you're going to realize that you don't have to climb and compete or consume to make life more meaningful. All you have to do is to live into the way of Jesus Christ, love others as he has loved you, and tap into some of his power. You don't have to sit at the bottom of the drain holding on for dear life. You can call on and count on God's strength to save you from death and transform your suffering, your boredom or anxiety into something redemptive. Maybe today is the day that you decide to put your full weight down on Jesus Christ. Maybe today is the day that you decide not to come to church as a duty, but to be about around fellow travelers on the way of Jesus Christ. It's a lot like going backpacking or rock climbing. It's better to do it in a group, especially if some of the members are skilled. Maybe today is the day that you crack open that dusty Bible or go buy one and find a way to understand what is written there so you can come to know who God is. If you're under the age of 60, take a look at the message. It is written in language that a teenager can understand. Real English. No weird phrases. Today, maybe it's the time to find out what God thinks of you and what God has promised to do for you. The reason we're all here today is that we want to believe that God defeated death and the seductive power of evil. And there was a family in New Jersey who discovered just that, that the Easter message was true. They had three kids, but 14-year-old Max was diagnosed with cancer. The doctor said it was a very serious case of a very virulent form of cancer. And Max received very vigorous cancer treatments, and he persevered. And on his 19th summer, he was going to college, he decided he would get a job, and he started working in a boiler plant over the summer. And during Max's shift one day, there was an explosion and a fire. And Max's father just happened to be the fire chief, and of course he responded to the call. And as soon as he arrived, he started asking if anyone had seen Max, but no one could find him, and so his dad went looking for him. And Max's father came to the company vault and discovered it was locked. He banged on the door and heard a tap from inside. Then he got the key and opened the door, and there was Max. Max looked at his father and said, "I knew you'd come, Dad. What kept you?" Max lived to be 25 until cancer returned and overcame him. And the reason I'm telling you this story is that at the memorial service, the great passages of the resurrection were read, and Max's father, the fire chief, rose to speak. He thanked everyone for coming and said, "I believe today is Easter. I know it's not on the calendar for today, but I believe that Jesus has risen from my dead, and our son Max is with him." He told everyone the story of the fire and of Max being trapped in the vault. And his father said, "I am so confident that when I get to heaven and meet Jesus Christ, in some amazing way, Max will be there and he's going to say, 'I knew you'd come, Dad. What kept you?'" Now, is it an idle tale or is it true? Today could be the Easter Sunday that makes all the difference in your life. And that is the greatest proof of all, the difference that occurs in the life of the first disciples. The first disciples were never the same again. They were terrified, hiding. And you know, no empty tomb or multitude of witnesses could have ever achieved anything. It was the changed lives, the changed priorities of the disciples that changed the world. They went out and told the world about Jesus and the resurrection. They are the ones who left home and risked their lives to tell the good news that God is more powerful than what you think is the last word. We are sitting here today because people who shared the good news that he is risen shared it with someone we know. T.S. Eliot also wrote, "Every now and then, life drops unavoidable questions at your door." The question for us is it an idle tale or is it true? I will be putting my full weight on the promises of God in Jesus Christ. What about you? Amen.